And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me, and they and their fathers, and have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. But they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. God bless you. I want to talk about, I have a divine assignment. I have a divine assignment. Thank you, Urshifus. Pastoral ministry is not a choice or decision. It is an assignment. When we are called and deputized by God, the pastor or the job or the obligation of the pastor is not taken lightly. For pastoring is one of the most noble of all assignments. Because we get to convey the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world who desperately needs to hear a word from God. And we, pastor preachers, we are not to take this assignment as a casual occurrence or an ordinary thing. My friends, my brothers, we have been called by God to stand on the wall and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, Pastor Armstead, we come to celebrate with you because you have taken your assignment seriously. And for God to look at you and me and say unto us, I want to speak through you, is an honorable thing. And we need to take this job a little bit more seriously than we do. I tell my ministers, and I thank God for my associate ministers, Pastor Reverend Dearborn and Reverend Slaughter, I tell them all the time, this is serious business. When you stand behind that sacred desk, you are the very voice of God. This is serious business. Preaching is the proclamation of an event to tell you that something is happening or something is going to happen. I come by to tell you, Mount Olive, God is getting ready to do some great things. God is getting ready to take you to higher heights, but you got to be willing to go. In this text, God has commissioned Ezekiel to proclaim a word to the children of Israel. They are captives in Babylon. They have given up. They've even themselves said that our hope is lost, for we are cut off from our parts. They are a people who has given up, hearts been broken, and find themselves in the situation that they put themselves in. And can I pause to tell you, there are some things we get in, but we put ourselves in. And we want to blame everybody else for the mess we in. I'm getting sick and tired, brother pastors, preachers, people saying that I don't come to church because the preacher's not right. I don't give in the church because the pastor is not right. Well, the owner of Walmart could be an atheist, but you still spend your money. Ain't no too much clapping now. When it comes to God and your relationship with God, it is not dependent on how another man is living. Because because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We got the church police driving around looking for other folks' fault. If you want to find fault, just look in the mirror. And you will find what you're looking for. Israel was in captive in Babylon. And in their captivity, God commissions Ezekiel. He says, son, I want you to go and proclaim a word. But one thing I like about the text, there are some holy hints here to help us that God, before he commissions and gives him the task, he educates Ezekiel on the proclamation of the word. Watch in the text. Number one, he tells him in verse 1, he said, son of man, stand on your feet so I can speak to you. Number one, write this down. When you're on a divine assignment, the first thing you have to do is take a stand. Ezekiel in the text was face down in worship because of the vision of God's glory that he saw. But now God speaks to him and tells him to get up, to stand on your feet. The reason why God wanted him to stand Mount Olive is because standing puts you in position to hear from God. It's right there in the text. He says, stand up that I may speak to you. John 10 and 27 said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Luke 11, 28 said, but he that said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. But then Hebrews 3 and 15 tells us that today when we hear his voice, harden not our hearts. He makes Ezekiel in, puts him in a standing position that he can hear from God. And that's the blessing of having a pastor that every Sunday you get a chance to hear from God. And we've got to learn to respond when the word is being given. We got to learn to celebrate when God is talking to us. We celebrate on every other occasion, but when the word of God is being preached, we get silent, we get quiet, we get to seeing what's on Facebook and what's the latest on Twitter. But baby, that's the time you need to celebrate, because God is talking to you. He says he want to put him in position to hear, because God is getting ready to tell him what type of people he's getting ready to preach to. He tells him to stand up on your feet. And then he says, Ezekiel says, and the Spirit entered into me while he spoke to me, and he set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spoke. And he said, son of man, let me tell you what you're getting ready to deal with. And can I help you for a minute? You have no idea how hard it is to deal with people. See, some of you see a pastor get up and preach a sermon and you think that's it. But we have to deal with people every day, all day. Then we have people even with hangnails want the pastor to pray for them. Call me 3 o'clock in the morning, pastor, my head is hurting. I said, baby, take a Tylenol. But when he needs you, you never show up. When he asks you to come, you're too busy to come. But every time you dial his number, you want him there. He tells Ezekiel in verse 3, he said, son, you finna deal with the children of Israel. He said, now they are not the amen group. They are not the ones that's gonna stand and say amen while you preach. They're gonna be doing other things while you're preaching. He said, but they deserve to hear the word of God. He said, they are a rebellious people. So standing not only puts you in a position to hear from God, but standing puts you in a position to go for God. He says, now I want you to go to these impudent, stiff-necked people. The word impudent means disrespectful. Stiff-hearted means stubborn. Have you ever met somebody that's stubborn? Some of you can't deal with one person, but a pastor got to deal with a few hundred. But it makes no difference, because God makes us in a special way. He created us in a special way. He gives us a special strength to deal with what others don't want to deal with. But I thank God for a pastor that prays for me even when I don't pray for myself. While you're having a good time and enjoying your night, Pastor Armstead is on his knees praying for the members of Mount Olive. I've seen the man go to and fro, back and forth to Leesville, to Alexandria, taking care of his wife, coming back to Bible study, leaving, going, taking care of his wife, coming here Sunday morning, going to take care. I see it with my own eyes. Now, Mount Olive, I'm having a problem now. Because if I can celebrate him and he's not my pastor, then what's your problem? If Mount Zion can celebrate him and he's not Mount Zion's pastor, Mount Olive, don't let nobody outshout you over your pastor. He is the one down here working with you. He said, son, stand on your feet. Stand puts you in a position to hear from me. Stands puts you in the position to go for me. And then in verse 4, watch this. He says, I send thee to them, but tell them thus saith the Lord. Secondly, you've got to say what God tell you to say. And watch this. It's going to bless you. Sometimes we've got to say it to a tough crowd. These preachers, these pastors can agree with me. There are sometimes we try to hurry through a sermon because we're dealing with some tough crowds. Dealing with crowds who you've got to beg them to say amen. You've got to cheerlead them into worship. Now, you can make noise everywhere else, but when it comes to the house of God, we have the audacity to say it don't take all of that to praise the Lord. It didn't take all of that for you to act a fool, but you still did it. When you won down there in Marksville, wherever you went the other night, you wasn't quiet about it. When you scratch and see that you're a winner, you ain't quiet about it. When he whispered in your ear, you wasn't quiet about it. But the man that woke you up this morning, you want to get quiet on him. The one that guides you through your life, you want to get quiet. My Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is there anybody in here been redeemed? If you've been redeemed, then you ought to have something to say. Sometimes we got to deal with a tough crowd. A crowd who think they know God, but really don't know God. But yet, Pastor, we have to preach the word. Not only we have to deal with a tough crowd, but we've got to deal with a spiritually deaf crowd. Verse 5 say, they will hear whether they forbear. For they are a rebellious house. Yet shall you know that I have been a prophet among them. There are some people that pastors have to deal with are so spiritually deaf. You see, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if you're not willing to hear, then you won't increase in faith. And that's why the church is where it is right now. Because we are so busy trying to turn the church into a business and not a place of worship. You're spiritually deaf. When you can lift your hands in the sanctuary, look up to God, but can't love the brother sitting next to you. You're spiritually deaf when you can say amen to gospel, but won't witness to the gospel. You're spiritually deaf when you are trying to tear down your brother instead of trying to build him up. You are spiritually deaf when you can walk your arrogant self down to the communion table and take communion like God. You're doing God a favor because you in church. You're spiritually deaf if you think the church can't make it without you. Baby, if you don't think the church can make it without you, just die. I promise you the choir gonna keep on singing. I promise you the deacons gonna still be praying. I promise you the folk gonna still be worshiping. God don't need you, but he wants you. They are the type of people that Ezekiel had to preach to. He said, preach to them. He said, now I want you to know something. They are not going to want to hear you. But my call to you is not based on who wants to hear you. My call for you is based on you telling them what I tell you to tell them. There are some things, Pastor Armstead, when God feeds me to preach to the people, I'll be like, Lord, I can't say that. If I say that, I may hurt some feelings. And God tells me, he said, I didn't call you to make everybody happy with you. I called you to preach my word. And preaching my word may not make everybody happy, but I'll smile on you. You know what I tell them, Mount Zion, at Mount Zion, Mount Olive? You know what I tell them? This sermon might not catch no fish, but it's going to clean the ones I got. See, we're too busy trying to catch fish. We need to clean up the ones we already got. Some sermons are designed to make you think. As I move on, I'm not going to hold you much longer. But have you ever sat under a message? Have you ever made it to church and seemed like everything that went on was pointing dead at you? The scripture that was read was all in your business. The deacon started praying all in your business. The choir was singing all about your business. And Lord, when the preacher got up, every word was all about your business. You begin to get paranoid and say, oh, somebody must have saw me. Well, I come to bust your bubble. Somebody did see you. God saw you. Through the scripture, he said, I saw you. In the prayer, he said, I saw you. Through the song, he said, I saw you. In the priest's word, he said, I saw you. We've got to learn how to respond. Yes, finally, Pastor, I'm not going to hold you much longer. Thirdly, we've got to be bold and don't compromise. In verse 6, he says, son of man, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Even briars and thorns may be with thee. He says, sometime you're going to dwell among scorpions. He said, be not afraid of them, nor be dismayed. But here's Pastor Armstead. I like what verse 6 says. He said, don't even worry about the strange looks that they give you. He said, but they are a rebellious people. See, when you don't compromise the word, people will give you strange looks. When you don't compromise the word of God, and when you stand on what's right, see, that's why church members don't bother me saying, Pastor, I'm with you long as you're right. Uh-huh. Well, who say I'm right all the time? Uh-huh. Oh, y'all done missed it now. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you just gave me something. We are so quick to find fault in the preacher. Like we all are that in a bag of chips. You got dirt on you like I got dirt on me. But can I, don't miss your praise, you, can I tell you something? God specializes in cleaning us up. Just like you trying telling me to get my dirt clean, the same God that cleaned me can clean you. And one thing I don't understand, why do we think we better than each other anyway? Because when we die, we're going to go back to our mother's dust. Dust we will form, dust we shall return. And I don't understand why another piece of dirt think they're better than another piece of dirt. You may wear name brand clothes, but it's just home dirt. You might live in a two-story house, but it just houses dirt. Pastor, we don't want him back. That's fine, but while I'm here, I'm going to preach. If you're bold and you don't compromise, God will be with you. And I know some of us, brother preachers, we fail and we fall short because we want to preach sermons that everybody would love. But every now and then, we got to preach the sermons of conviction. We got to let them know that you can't keep doing what you're doing. God loves us. Can I tell you that? God loves us. Can I say it again? God loves us. I'll be like the old warriors. I came to Jesus just like I was, weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place. He say, son, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about how they look at you. He said, don't worry about the frowns that they're going to give you. You just preach anyway. They're going to hear you. They may not want to hear you, but preach anyway. Now, brother preacher, this is where I want to get, because this is going to teach all of us a lesson. He looks at them. In verse 9, he said, behold, a hand was set upon me, and lo, a scroll, a book was therein. And there the book was written on the outside as well as the in. And there was the lamentations that God had given unto him. And he said now in verse 8, he said, son of man, hear what I say. Be not like the rebellious people. In other words, he's saying, don't become the people you're preaching to. Can I pause here and tell you, don't you dare let somebody take you out of your character. Don't you dare let somebody take you from how you've been raised. Don't you dare let somebody come along and make you do what you don't want to do. You got to stand your ground and say, baby, I was raised better than that. Mama did too good a job for me to bow down right now. Is there anybody can testify to say that God will always be with me? That God will keep me in perfect peace. Now as I leave you, I promise I'm gone this time. But I got to tell you what he said. He said, don't be like, in verse 8, watch this. He said, don't be like the people you're preaching to. He says, watch this in your verse, in your Bible, eat that I give you. In other words, we've got to eat the word before we preach the word. The word must come a part of our DNA before we can preach the word. Now, brothers and sisters, as I leave you today, we've got to learn that the Lord is able. And we've got to learn that the Lord can make a way out of no way. Lord, you don't know like I know how good the Lord has been. And Ezekiel was commissioned, Lord, to proclaim the word of God. Lord, and if you turn your Bibles a few chapters over, You will discover Ezekiel in chapter 37. I heard him saying, the hand of the Lord was on me. Lord, and carried me out in a vision in the spirit and sent me down in the valley. Lord, and what he discovered then, he had to still preach to the same people. And while he preached, the Lord caused him to pass by. The Lord said, well, you need to know what kind of people you're going to preach to. And there were very many in the open valley. None of the bones were together in that valley. Oh, Lord. And God and Ezekiel had a private conference. I heard the Lord say, well, Ezekiel, you looked at the bones. And you've observed the bones. What I want to know is, can these bones, can they live again? I can hear Ezekiel said, well, as I looked at the bones, head bone was over there. Backbone was over there. None of the bones were together in that valley. To me, God, the situation looked hopeless. But oh Lord, I know you know. What is it you want me to do? He said, son, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach to those bones. What is it you want me to say? Say, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
God, and I know prayer changes things.